The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter Brian Berger. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and you're listening to our show, which is available on bodyslam.net and on the Shining Wizards Network and on all podcast platforms. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, I wish we were here on a better note. Great to do the show with you. But that car that we got on, that road to WrestleMania, it took a detour. And
it's Trendsetter,
we really first and foremost want to, you know, send out, you know, all our best wishes to everybody out there who's affected by this coronavirus pandemic. And the inevitable has happened, Trendsetter. WrestleMania has been rescheduled. Now, whether it stays at the Performance Center, we don't know yet. Whether it gets moved to another venue down the road, all we know is that there's not going to be WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa.
You're right, man. We're beaten. We're battered. This was the payoff. This was the go home. We're going to basically, you know, put all our chips down the table and have our WrestleMania moment, as cliche as that sounds. But no, guys, this is the reality now that we have to deal with. And this is like the first of anything. I don't think anybody has ever dealt with something like this. And I don't have to say, I think I can safely say no one has ever dealt with something like this before. It's new territory for us. It's new territory for the crew to be a part of it as well. And, you know, all I can say right now is that people have asked me, you know, are you disappointed that WrestleMania is, you know, not going to happen, that your trip is canceled? Yeah, it's a little sour for that to happen, but you know what? Health overcomes all. And there's some things that are more important. As much as we love talking about wrestling, as much as we love what we do, it's a labor of love. Sometimes you have to put, you know, common sense behind it, although we're talking about something that doesn't require common sense. And health is the most important thing, and safety is the most important thing. So, yeah, definitely bitter pill, but you know what? It's for good reason.
Yeah, and I mean, again, this is kind of like our second Christmas. This is our chance to go out there and talk wrestling and be surrounded
by
you
guys. Our first Christmas wasn't so good, and now this happens for our second Christmas,
right? Oh, I know, man, right? Yeah, and it's always health-related as well. So yeah. Definitely, though, we're looking forward to being there. Almost all the events now have been canceled for WrestleMania weekend, WrestleCon canceled, and one of our guests joining us today, Jeremy Gomez of Generation Pro Wrestling, Generation Championship Wrestling, his event was canceled too. We're going to talk to him about, you know, just the ramifications of the events being canceled there and what the future holds for their company. And as well, Brian Fritz joins us on the show.
Let me ask you, Jeff, what was your initial reaction when you finally found out the end result that it wasn't going to happen? What was your reaction?
Yeah, and we'll get in depth with that with Brian Fritz from Sporting News coming up in just shortly. But my reaction was, man, we're bummed, man. Yeah. Bummed about this. True. And you know, again, I'd be lying to you, man. I'm not trying to be selfish or anything like that, but you kind of get a little selfish because this was something that...
Come on, you're not selfish, Chef.
This is something that we were looking forward to for the longest time. So, yeah, but then you realize there's a bigger picture here. There's a really much bigger picture here. There's a pandemic going on, and when you talk to other people, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So, you know, we're just trying to stay healthy, man. And right now, it just makes no sense to go traveling out of state on a plane and then go to some place that, again, we don't know about. So, you know what? The coronavirus stopped the Jersey Wrecking Crew from going to WrestleMania. We went there since 2009. We've been traveling too, so I guess it's going to be looking forward to LA, right?
But let's remind everybody that the streak hasn't ended. You know, this is something we couldn't control, so the streak continues. But it'll happen either it'll happen at a later date by doing WrestleMania 36, and then obviously 37 in Los Angeles is the one that's playing. So a lot of things left to be answered as the weeks leading to the months occur. So we'll see, man. We'll see if we make it to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, everything is shutting down, of course. The sporting world is shut down. NFL free agency isn't. MGM Grand is closing, so now there's in question whether Double or Nothing is going to take place in May. So
I doubt it.
So much going on, so many questions, man. But, you know, like I was talking about, NFL free agency kicked things off, so it was kind of good to get back to a little bit of normalcy, you know. Tom Brady now will be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. That's crazy. You know, so we wanted to get somebody to talk about not only just NFL, but about WWE and all other wrestling-related topics, but who else than Brian Fritz from Sporting News? And he joined us on High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, man. Always good to talk to Brian Fritz.
When
Sporting
he remembers
News.
Us. Yeah.
He does. He actually remembers us, man. He didn't say, who the hell are you guys when we call him to come on the show today. But Brian, man, how are you doing today? How's everything?
I'm doing okay, about as good as anybody can expect right now in these very unique times.
So first and foremost, man, how are you surviving? How are you maintaining, Brian?
Well, I don't have a 24-pack of toilet paper, but I feel like I have enough to last me for at least a couple of weeks. I do have a 10-pack of ramen, and I think I have about a case of water. So I'm holding up just about as good as anybody else. I mean, you know, my wife and I are lucky enough with our jobs where basically we can work from home and not miss a beat. And we're just trying to do all the things that the experts are telling you to do, wash your hands and social distancing and all the things that go into helping stop the spread of this.
So in a time of where, you know, again, we're, you know, self-distancing and staying indoors and doing the stuff kind of we're doing before, like social media and all these things, we actually have like some normalcy, Brian, because obviously the NFL and free agency, a big topic this week. And, you know, by all accounts, it looks like Tom Brady is going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. How surreal is that, Brian?
That is going to be different for everybody to see Tom Brady in a uniform other than a Patriots uniform. That is absolutely going to be crazy. And it's funny because, like, if you work in sports radio in particular, you're sitting there all week going, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? And then the NFL free agency goes on as planned. And they're like, okay, we've got something here for a couple of days. You're almost hoping, like, let's hope that maybe some of this gets spread out. And then the word came out earlier, you know, today that, you know, Tom Brady's leaving the Patriots, and everybody's like, oh, cool. Let's draw this out for a little while so we can, you know, take advantage of this and, you know, kill a couple of days. And it already sounds like Tom Brady has made his decision and he's going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But everybody's going to be talking about that, you know, the rest of today and for the next couple of days, actually. So it's going to be strange to see Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and now with the New England Patriots.
It's going to be strange, but not surprising, though, because I've spoken to Jeff about this, too. Like, how many times have we seen our favorite athletes, depending on whatever sport it is, right? You know, the days now where a player that's either a homegrown guy or a guy that got drafted or whatever that might be stays with the team for his entire career, that's really rare nowadays. So as you know, surprising, as shocking for some people, the news of Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots. It's not surprising, though, is it?
I don't think so. I mean, I along with a lot of other people, thought, okay, he's going to go back to the Patriots. You know, he's going to want to have that run where his entire career was with one team, which is so unique. But there's also that argument of sometimes you just want to try something different. Whether it works out or not, you at least want to say, hey, I at least want to try this. I want to do something that's different before my career is over. We've seen so many athletes do it, like you said. I mean, you know, people aren't even talking about this a lot, you know, but like Philip Rivers has spent his entire career with the Chargers, and today he agreed to go to the Indianapolis Colts, you know, so that's another guy that could be a Hall of Fame quarterback that decided, hey, I'm changing my location. It's going to be weird to see him in something besides a Chargers jersey, you know. I mean, it's few and far between, especially in the NFL.
You know, a lot of people are going to say, and the debate's already started, who needs who the most? Did Brady need Belichick? Did Belichick need Brady? Where do you stand on that? What side do you take?
I think Tom Brady is going to be successful anywhere he goes. So I would probably lean more towards Belichick needed Brady. But, you know, to be fair to both sides of it, I think they both need each other because it was just a symbiotic relationship between the two that worked out so well between Belichick's kind of ruthlessness when it came to what he did, both, you know, on the field and behind the scenes, and then Tom's dedication to the craft. And it just worked out so well. And now we get to see how do they work without each other.
Yeah, and of course we're going to find out what's going to happen with that. I think the Buccaneers play at New England, I believe, in 2021. So if Tom Brady signs a multiple-year deal, which we expect, then we're probably going to get that matchup in the next couple of seasons. And right now, there's been a lot of debate about whether free agency should have gone as scheduled, as planned, of course, with the pandemic, the coronavirus, and every other sport taking a step back. Do you think that this is kind of really good for the NFL to proceed with free agency so far?
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with it because there's not that many in-person meetings that go on in free agency. And, you know, it's something that I think the NFL really wanted to do because if they had pushed this back, it could really cramp what could be them getting into the regular schedule later on this year. And who knows what's going to happen, you know, a couple of months from now, you know, 6 months from now. But I think they want to leave every opportunity open to be able to keep a normal schedule as normal as possible. And if they had not done free agency right now, if they don't do the draft, you know, next month and push that back as well, it would definitely disrupt their season as they go forward when it comes to training camps and then you know, getting their season started. This at least I think leaves open that opportunity that if life gets back to normal or semi-normal where they can play games in the fall, that you know, they don't have to miss that time by pushing back all these different events before then.
Totally agree. I think that we needed kind of this to kind of take our minds off of it. I mean, first and foremost, yes, the coronavirus is indeed something that we all should be thinking about. And it's something that, you know, I don't want to, you know, be grim or anything like that, but something that's going to get worse before it gets better. But something like this, we did need that normalcy this week. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about, you know, possibility of matchups and games. I know as a Jets fan, I'm the happiest person in the world right now that Tom Brady is no longer in my division. But into the other sports, Brian, you know, the NBA talking about playing in June or July, and you know, the MLB season. I know you're a huge Cubs fan, and you know, just no baseball right now. It's kind of really weird. What do you think the mentality is from all our sports fans right now? Are we like clamoring for any sport right now?
Yeah, I think we are. You know, there's that old adage of you never know what you have until it's gone. And I think that's where we're at right now. I mean, we're supposed to be spoiled right now in that we're supposed to be down the end of the regular season for the NBA and gearing up for the playoffs and
March Madness. You know, yeah.
Yeah. March Madness is about to start. We're about to start the baseball season, NFL free agency, and that leads into the NFL draft. And of course, those things are still taking place. But it was supposed to be a very, very busy time of the year when it comes to sports, and to have that all come to a grinding halt outside of, you know, these off-season moves in the NFL, it's just very startling. And, you know, it's funny because I think everybody right now is turned to social media even more so than before when it comes to keeping up with what's going on, you know, around the country and around the world when it comes to this pandemic. And at the same time, people want to go on social media to keep up with NFL free agent moves, especially if you're a sports fan and you just want something, you know, when it comes to sports. So it's like there can almost be that overload of being on social media. Like, I need to take a break from the virus, but then I want to keep up with what's going on in the NFL. And basically, you're back on social media because of that. So it's kind of this catch 22 going on there.
No, I know those very well, Jeff. It's not a fun time to be when you're in that type of scenario, though. But talking about, you know, stuff that's kind of heartbreaking, too, in the sense that there's a change of normalcy, is the fact that now that, you know, you've heard reports that, you know, WrestleMania was going to be moved to the Performance Center. They're no longer going to do it in the stadium. Now there are reports, too, they're going to try to move it to Madison Square Garden. That's pretty interesting, though. Could you see a move like that really paying off, them waiting till June 7th to have it at Madison Square Garden? And what do you think they do storyline-wise to build up towards that one? Can they lose it? Can they move completely, do a 180? What's your viewpoint on that?
You know, I mean, I know that rumor is out there, so who knows what the validity is to it. But, I mean, from this standpoint, it would make sense that they're able to postpone it to sometime in the summer to wherever, whether it's Madison Square Garden or someplace else, simply because I look at it this way, like, I know that Vince McMahon and WWE have this mentality of the show must go on. But if you do WrestleMania, the biggest annual showcase that WWE does every year, with all the pomp and circumstance and pageantry and bigger than life event that they make it out to be, if you do that in the WWE Performance Center with no fans, is it really WrestleMania? I mean, you have to do what you have to do sometimes, but I look at it as saying, hey, if there is a way that you can keep the door open to postponing it and hopefully doing it at a later date, you probably want to try to do that. And I mean, and there's a business aspect as well when it comes to trying to recoup that revenue that WrestleMania brings, or at least a portion of that. But the problem with all this is we don't know what the future entails right now when it comes to this virus. Like, hey, you can sit there and they could announce tomorrow, hey, we postpone this. We're going to do it in June, you know, Madison Square Garden or whatever venue. But we don't know if that would even take place. I mean, we don't know what life is going to be like then. We don't know if we're still going to be in the throes of this virus, if we're still going to be quarantined at home in a lot of different places. We don't know if we're going to be able to have sporting events that allow fans. We might still be in a situation where they say no public gatherings of more than 50 people or even 10 people. So, you know, that there is a risk in doing it then. But like I said, I mean, they do it at the Performance Center. It's just using that name WrestleMania, but it's just going to be another weird show that's done with no fans, and there's not going to be, you know, all the hoopla that goes along with the WrestleMania.
I mean, we kind of got a little preview of SmackDown and Raw, what it would look like, you know, empty seats, and you know, it just. You know, you get it, but you know, I get your point where WrestleMania, you, the hoopla, the fandom, everybody there too. And you got to feel for the smaller companies, the independent companies that piggy back off of WrestleMania. They're taking a huge hit. We just found out that WrestleCon and the Marriott had come to an agreement there where they don't have to pay whatever they owed there. It was a large sum. How dire is it for the small companies with the cancellations of WrestleMania and the other events?
I mean, it's really rough. I mean, you talk about WrestleCon, and luckily they worked out that thing deal with Marriott because they stood to lose almost $120,000. And for WrestleCon, I mean, that would come close to bankrupting them. And you don't want to see that. I mean, you want to see all these other independent groups and promotions be able to thrive and provide a service for all the different wrestling fans that are out there that want something a little bit different and have some fun with what they provide. So, I mean, this is a time of the year where typically, you know, all these independent, you know, shows have events around WrestleMania. And how many times have we heard these stories about, how many times this guy booked for matches? He's going to be working, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches. I mean, it's a lot of income for these wrestlers. I mean, yeah, it can be very grueling for them, you know, over, you know, a 3 or 4 day period where they'll have all these different matches. But they do that because they know that they can, you know, make a lot of money and they need that for their independent career, you know, and this is a time of the year where they can really take advantage of all these different shows. And I know some people talk about like, well, you know, these shows are piggybacking off the success of WrestleMania. Yeah, yeah, they absolutely are. But at the same time, I mean, who wouldn't want to take advantage of something like that? You're going to be in an area where there's going to be a lot of wrestling fans. So, you know, they're going to put on these different shows, and they've been successful with that model so far. So it's going to be a huge hurt to all these different promotions, and especially to the wrestlers that are not going to be able to go out there and make this money right now. And who knows when they're going to be able to go back to work. And hopefully, you know, some of these people have saved up money or they're in good situations to where they can get by financially, because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for a lot of these independent wrestlers. It's going to be tough for a lot of people that are, you know, work in service industries around the country. And hopefully everybody can pull through, because, I mean, we all got to tighten our belts coming up here, because there's tough times ahead.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that in terms of dealing with the tough times with all the independent promotions suffering a huge blow. Also, the fans, too, have suffered a huge blow, because it's definitely a weekend. It's like
I'm
Christmas.
Bummed. This is my second Christmas, Brian.
Yeah, they look forward to this event. It's a week-long event, and how people enjoy it. If you're a pure wrestling fan, you love this time of year as it approaches. So now, if they do move it and postpone it, let's say it's June, let's say it's further down the line. Because, like you said, you don't know when you will have a sense of normalcy come back. But It's something that's challenging, though, from my perspective looking at it, and I've spoken about this with Jeff, too. From a creative standpoint, what do you think WWE can do in order to keep the fans intrigued, knowing that your biggest event you've been building up is now going to be postponed not just a couple weeks, but, you know, 2 or 3, 4 months down the line?
Yeah, if the reports are true, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a huge question, and I'm not exactly sure what they do there because, well, I look at it from this standpoint, too. Like, I know that the plan right now is to continue to do shows in the Performance Center, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. How long can they continue that? Is there going to be a point where, say, the city of Orlando or Orange County, which is where the Performance Center is located, is there going to be a point where they say, you guys can't do this. There's too many people in there. We've said no social gatherings of this size. Or what if there's unfortunate news that they find out that somebody that has been in the Performance Center, whether it's a wrestler or somebody that works behind the scenes, has tested positive. At that point, do you have to shut it down? So what do you do with all those different TV shows if you're not even allowed to do these empty arena shows, you know, when it comes to Raw and SmackDown or NXT? I don't know. For the storylines, I mean, that would be very challenging. I think there's a way that you could do it, but it's going to be tough to keep your audience. I think a lot of it is going to depend on them thinking outside the box, to thinking, what other things can we do to kind of, you know, make this a little bit more intriguing content? And some of it's going to be obviously replaying other matches, I think, from pay-per-views, which we've seen on SmackDown and on Raw. Maybe they'll have to follow a little bit more of a formula that it sounds like we're going to see on NXT this week, where they've already said, like, hey, expect deeper character profiles and never before seen interviews with our talent. And they're trying to think of different ways to say, hey, we don't want to have matches in the ring in front of an empty arena because it's just awkward. It does not look right. It doesn't sound right. Doesn't feel right. So what can we do to come up with other fresh programming? And maybe that's something that WWE has to look at when it comes to SmackDown and it comes to Raw. It's a little bit different there because it's probably not as hardcore of an audience, shall we say, as what an NXT is or diehard audience. With Raw, the challenge there, too, is it's not just a 2-hour show. It's a 3-hour show. So there's challenges that are built into that. And then, you know, like we mentioned before, like if you put all these plans in place and say you're going to do WrestleMania in June, and then you think that you've kind of kept these storylines intact to get to that point, and then you can't do WrestleMania then I'm not sure what you do, you know? So it's, I don't know if there are any really true concrete answers right now. I would hope that they would try to keep the storylines intact if they postpone WrestleMania to the summer, but I don't know what they would do. Maybe they would have this answer of saying some of the matches we're going to do right now and we'll change up the lineup for the WrestleMania at a later date, and some of them will keep going. You know, I don't know exactly how that would work. I mean, that would be an incredible challenge.
You know, what's great is that even though right now we're in the situation, we have a lot to talk about, a lot to debate, especially leading up to WrestleMania, what's going to happen, and of course, storyline-wise. You mentioned something about more in-depth interviews, and I think that would be a blessing for WWE because I think when you go to NXT, and of course, the wrestling is great on there, but I think what's missing is like a relatability factor with the wrestlers and the talent, because that's what AEW, I think, strives on, is the fans relating to the characters, to the wrestlers, and that's why the fans push so hard for these guys and root for them so hard. I think that's the main difference right now between NXT and AEW, and as far as WWE as well, is the relatability of the characters. Do you think that's something that AEW does better than WWE right now?
I think that their fans definitely feel more of a connection with the wrestlers, and I think some of that is just kind of like, hey, you guys are new. We wanted something different. You're providing that, so we're going to go crazy for it. We're definitely going to support you in that fashion. And it's different than anything we see in WWE. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where people were clamoring for NXT from the standpoint of saying, hey, yeah, this is under the WWE umbrella, but it's so much different than what we see in Raw and SmackDown. Why couldn't Raw and SmackDown be like this? And then AEW came along and said, hey, this is the way that we look at wrestling. And it's even more different from NXT. It's like, yeah, we want to do the match quality you guys have there, but we want to do more when it comes to the storylines, more when it comes to that character development. And And because of that, I think they built a little bit more of an emotional bond with its audience. And like I said, that's an audience. I was clamoring for it. And they said, hey, you guys are doing what we wanted. So we're going to go out of our way to really support you right now. You are the hot thing. You are the new thing. And we're going to get behind you. And you could see that, you know, that audience is going to try to support them every way that they can. And they've been doing that. I mean, they're going to all the different shows. And they're involved in the shows. It's not like they sit on their hands. I mean, those people are going crazy. And sometimes it's even for like the simplest things or things you wouldn't think they'd go nuts for. But or even if things don't turn out the way that AEW necessarily wants for the most part. But for, you know, most of it, I mean, the fans have really supported AEW. And I give them credit for kind of throwing out different ideas and different ways of doing things and kind of adjusting on the fly and saying this works and this doesn't. But they've definitely created that emotional bond with the audience, and that's something that I think the WWE, especially when it comes to Raw and SmackDown, has been lacking for a while.
Another question, Brian, on that is, you've seen Ricochet, for some reason, be in the doghouse. You've seen them not push Cedric Alexander because Vince one week wakes up and is like, oh, I'm not going to push him, I'm going to bury him, right? But you look at AEW, and you see Darby Allin have a match with Chris Jericho. You put Sammy Guevara in Inner Circle with Chris Jericho. Why is AEW just doing the concept of making stars so much better than WWE is right now? Why is it so hard for WWE right now?
I still think that, especially when it comes to Raw and SmackDown, WWE is still stuck in this mentality of we know what a star looks like. And they still haven't adjusted to what today's audience wants. And there are definitely some people that are going to be diehard WWE through and through. We love what they're doing. I tend to believe, though, that those same fans would go crazy if you also adjusted more towards a modern audience and said, hey, we have more with this talent base that we can do. And we can look at from a different vantage point of what we believe a star is and how we can accentuate that star. I mean, how many times have we don't see guys get to do maybe the matches they want or the 50-50 booking or the promos, all those different things feed into it. The size of different wrestlers. I mean, how many times do you sit here right now going, man, I watch NXT and I look at Undisputed Era, especially Adam Cole, and saying that guy, that is a star, money, anywhere he goes. But at the same time, you're sitting there thinking, I don't want him to go to Raw or SmackDown because I don't know if he's going to work out there because they're going to look at his size as a detriment. And for AEW, they don't look at that in that same way. Now, mind you, they don't have as many bigger guys, you know, there. But regardless, I think WWE looks at that in a different light, you know, and there's, you add up all those different factors. And I think that's kind of what's holding them back is they still do that, have not adjusted to the times of what is a superstar. And it's like they almost got to be bonked over the head before they get to that point. I mean, we saw that a couple of years ago with Daniel Bryan. Look at what it took for Daniel Bryan to get to that point. And even then, it just kind of fell on their lap. I mean, there's so many dominoes had to fall between CM Punk quitting the company and, you know, the fans kind of revolting and all these different things had to kind of happen even for that to happen. I don't know what the steps would be for them to kind of change the way that they book guys and look at superstars, but I wish they would kind of get it. I mean, what's the worst thing that happened? You try something different, something that seems to be working more for modern booking. And if it doesn't work, you adjust on the fly. But I think the frustrating thing is so many times you feel like they're not even trying or they're not even trying as hard as they should be.
Yeah, I think that's what we kind of were like a little worried with Drew because we're like, wow, they're all in on him, right? But then to Brian and me, we were like, what's after? You know what I mean? Because you put him in this WrestleMania moment and say he defeats the Brock and Brock's done a tremendous job in making Drew look legitimate and really look like $1 million and very believable as the guy that could dethrone Brock Lesnar. But to me, what I'm worried about is, say everything went right and we were in Tampa, the question is, what would have the WWE done afterwards? You know what I mean? What next? You know, I don't think they have a plan for that.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times have we seen that too? I mean, you go back to the example of Daniel Bryan, he wins at WrestleMania 30, and then you're sitting going, okay, what is next for him? You know, we've seen that plenty of times. And I mean, this is kind of the way WWE is right now when it comes to their booking. It feels like it's kind of just the next step instead of looking at 2, 3, 4 steps down the road. And that's another thing that I wish they would you know, get back in track about, is that it's not just short-term booking, it's long-term booking. And that's something I think AEW has done an excellent job at looking at, and it's something that WWE just does not do. And a lot of that is because of the person on top and just kind of his mentality and the way that he looks at everything.
I love the fact that we can talk about AEW in comparison with WWE, and then we can talk about, for example, New Japan or Ring of Honor or NWA and Impact, and the list goes, MLW, the list goes on and on of different promotions out there. But, you know, a lot of people might also consider the fact, too, that despite the fact that a lot of things were put on hold because of this whole pandemic, though, I wanted to get your opinion, though. I remember we spoke about this, seems like ages ago, in terms of just so much out there right now to look at, and you and I would joke about how, yeah, I just don't have the time to look at it anymore. I'm usually, whenever I get a free moment, I'll check it out. Do you think there's an oversaturation of stuff like this for the audience out there, or do you think it's just enough where each particular promotion has their own separate identity?
I think overall there's probably an oversaturation, but I mean that can be both good and bad. I mean, the good is that there are choices, that you don't feel like you're just tied into WWE. There is an oversaturation, though, for some people that are like us. I want to keep up with everything. It's cool to have so many different things, but there can definitely be an overload where you say, can I really keep up with everything? I mean, it's tough.
I never thought I'd reach that day, Brian, honestly, where it's like, this, wow, there's just so much right now, I can't keep up.
Like I'll wake up at on a Saturday at 7 a.m. and then look on my Twitter feed and see that something happened amazing in New Japan, right? And I'm like, oh, I missed this, you know what I mean? Because it's just the time difference and just so much wrestling. But it's a good thing. And right now, we're definitely starving for some wrestling. And at least give kudos to the WWE for trying to, you know, take our minds off things for at least a short term while they're trying to figure out what's going on with wrestling. Mania, but one thing that I think wrestling fans will salivate over is Dark Side of the Ring, Brian. I'm a huge fan of it, was a huge fan of season one, and man, what a way to kick off season two. Coming up is the Chris Benoit story. How intrigued are you going to be by that, and do you think Dark Side can offer a different, I guess, tell a different tale of what we already know about the whole Chris Benoit saga?
It's funny you ask me this, because I actually got a screener and watched this today.
Okay, so, I mean, what do you think?
I thought it was really good. I mean, they definitely go very deep into Chris and the last, 48 hours of his life and kind of the fallout from that, shall we say. There are different things when it comes to his career, and they explain, his career path, going from, independence to WCW, and then how we got to WWE and everything like that. There's a lot of conversation in here about Eddie Guerrero and Chris's close relationship with Eddie, and how that impacted his life when Eddie passed away. And then there's a lot of things when it comes to Chris's family and the family that he left behind, and even his wife, Nancy, and the family that she left behind. So there's definitely a lot of things that they go into there. They talk about kind of what happened during that whole situation, and then what happened even afterwards, kind of the fallout from that. So there were some things in there that I didn't necessarily know. I think a lot of it is things that people do know about, but it's still very intriguing to hear from the different people that were directly involved in this, because you hear from Vicky Guerrero, you hear from Chris Benoit's son, David, you hear from Nancy's sister, you hear from Chavo Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Dean Malenko. I mean, there's a lot of people that are involved in this, and it's always interesting to hear from the people that knew him best and were involved in his life.
Do you think something like this would give somebody who's a general fan, or somebody who kind of knows the story to a very generic degree, would it open up their eyes to see it from a different perspective after the documentary?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, they also talk about the whole situation of Chris, and I think everybody remembers that after that tragic situation happened, there was so much media surrounding it, and, roid rage was, center about that. And they really go into a deeper discussion about what they think happened with Chris. They talk about steroids, but they also talk about CTE. And I think it's a lot more of a better handled look at what happened with Chris around that whole situation, rather than what happened, in the moment when all these different, you know, nightly shows on cable news networks were going crazy and saying, like, I know what happened, and it's all roid rage, or pointing the finger at this, that, and the other. And I think we have a better understanding now of what happened probably with Chris and what happens with different athletes once they suffer CTE and even brain damage.
I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because a while ago when this initially started, Vince McMahon was very strong about saying that he could not see how somebody who, you know, had the brain of a 50-year-old man, Vince could not believe that that was Chris Benoit, that he could do the things he did in the ring and have that type of condition. So he didn't want to believe it. He really kind of just looked Chris Benoit in one particular light, though. But now, as you see the way the WWE does with concussion protocol, and then you see the examples, for example, that 30 for 30 special, Jeff, you remember with Junior Seau, how amazing that was. And to me, that kind of reminded me of Chris Benoit, probably somebody trapped in his own mind. You know, what was your thought process when you found out, or when they spoke about the OCT thing? Did it give that opening that door now to having professional wrestlers or superstars now condition themselves or train in a different way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's something that I remember at the time we were starting to learn a little bit more about CTE when Chris passed away. And I always thought that was a lot more credibility to that than there was to the roid rage argument. And I think as people understand CTE a lot better, and we see what some of these athletes go through, especially in very violent sports, and you talk about football and Junior Seau, we've seen it with other athletes in football and even other athletes in wrestling, that I think as a society, we've gotten much smarter about it. And I would hope that a lot of people look at these things in a different light and know about the risks that go into this and kind of how we've changed with the times as well when it comes to wrestling and some of the moves and definitely some of the chair shots and things like that that we don't do anymore, and for good reason.
I know, like, you know, he's a 90s wrestler, mid-2000s, and it's a different wrestling than it is now, and the test that can be done too. And I kind of lean towards the whole CTE angle, and, you know, and just that one night it just snapped, that everything triggered. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all the episodes. It's a good chance to go and watch some wrestling too, because they do such a good job. I'm looking forward to the Dino Bravo one. And as far as other things postponed, Brian, we found out, of course, that Davey Boy Smith will be in the Hall of Fame. Of course, that's postponed. And also Jushin Thunder Liger. Yeah. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, those are two names there. Davey is a lock, and of course Jushin did wrestle in NXT that one match in Brooklyn, but Jushin Thunder Liger is a world-renowned name. How happy are you to hear that those two guys are going into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, both of them deserved it, especially Liger. I mean, Liger is one of the greatest cruiserweights of all time, and he was at the forefront of it as well, and he's done it everywhere he's gone. You know, obviously made a name for himself in Japan, but to see what he did, you know, when it comes to WCW, and even, you know, we saw him in NXT for that one match you mentioned. And I mean, that guy's a legend. And then people have been clamoring for Davey Boy Smith to go in as well. So it's great that both of them are finally getting this opportunity. It's just now we got to see when they're going to do the Hall of Fame. I mean, there has been some rumors out there that if SummerSlam goes on as expected in August up in Boston, that maybe they would do the Hall of Fame around then. And that makes a lot of sense. It's just now we just have to see and got to look at what the WWE schedule is going to be like and when they can reschedule that.
Brian, one question I wanted to ask you, though, when we look at, you know, Davey Boy Smith being inducted, and again, I was so excited for Jushin Thunder Liger, and I look at the Hart Foundation at that time around 96, where it was basically Canada versus the U.S., and amazing talent. You had Jim the Anvil, you had Brett, you had Owen, British Bulldog, Brian Pillman. Do you think Brian Pillman and Owen Hart make it to the Hall of Fame at one point? Do they make it there in your mind?
I think sooner or later they will. I think WWE is very cognizant of, we don't want to put in too many wrestlers that have passed away in the same year. I think they usually try to limit that to one per year. And I guess it just depends on how many people they want to keep putting in every year and where they are on the pecking order. I think Owen Hart definitely has a better chance of going in if you had to pick one of the two. And this is a WWE Hall of Fame. Owen is a fantastic talent, and he deserves it, especially for their Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, when that's going to happen. I feel pretty confident that sooner or later it's going to happen. But I would definitely think that they would look at Pillman as well, because Brian was ahead of his time and so
still
many
ahead of his
ways.
Time, Brian. Still
he
ahead of his
still
time.
Still is. Yeah. And I mean, I would hope that they take a serious look putting Pillman in. I just think that that argument's going to be, you know, kicked further down the road. And after Owen Hart finally goes in, and, you know, there's still arguments going on, or still bitter feelings, and rightfully so, between, you know, Owen's family and WWE. So we'll see if they could get past that hurdle and, you know, sooner or later, you know, induct Owen. And I think after that point, then they can probably look at Pillman at some time.
Have you seen Pillman Jr.'s kid? Have you seen Brian Pillman's son, Russell, or have you seen him?
I've seen him a little.
Chibuffio Block, Brian.
The mullet is fantastic. But I mean, you can see shades of his dad, just the way he looks, the kind of the way he moves, the way he reacts. And I mean, that guy's got a hell of a career ahead of him.
You know, and also what I think, like you had spoken about before, and Jeff had mentioned too, so ahead of his time. I just imagine if he was alive today, and let's say he got a job being a coach in the Performance Center, how the wealth of knowledge he would have to help characters present promos and be able to kind of develop their characters as Brian did, because he was fully committed into everything he did.
Yeah, there's so many different ways where he could contribute to the business, whether he was a coach at the Performance Center, whether he was just kind of
an agent.
Yeah, like he could be an agent, or he could be like a commissioner role, whatever, and not even for WWE, but can you imagine him in AEW?
Yeah.
You know, right now. And even if you go back to when, you know, Brian was still alive and performing, imagine what his career could have been like if he had never suffered that car crash totally smashed his ankle and, you know, almost ended his career and definitely changed it. I mean, if he had never had that injury, I mean, who knows where his career might have gone, but I mean,
he was the last one I can remember that was one of the biggest, hottest free agents around that time. When people were talking about names, especially when we had tape trading back then, people always mentioned Brian Pillman.
And his work in ECW, you were like, oh man, this guy is something is different. And then, you know, towards the end in his run in WCW with the whole Kevin Sullivan, I respect you, Booker man. And then you never knew when he was working you, right? That was the big thing on Pillman. You know, are you working me? He was always 100% with that character.
On the edge.
Yeah.
He worked a company into legitimately giving him a release as part of a storyline and used that to leave one company and go to another. I mean, that's incredible. That's legendary.
It's awesome stuff. And I'll tell you a funny story, Brian, real quick. We were at Double or Nothing, right? And we were talking about Dark Side of the Ring, right? And so I'm there. We're online at StarCast for something. I quickly turn, and I'm like, holy crap. I nudge Brian very quietly.
He didn't nudge me very quietly. He literally almost broke my ribcage.
And I go, oh, my God, that's Chris Benoit's son, David. How uncanny is the resemblance, Brian?
It's crazy. It really is.
It's uncanny for both.
With the second day you see him, you know that's Chris's son.
Yeah, and then they actually took a picture. Pillman Jr. and David Benoit took a picture together. And it's floating somewhere out there, and that's just crazy. That's just like, wow, you know? It's like you see Brian and Chris there, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think even as amazing as it is to see like what they're doing right now, but just the fact that both of them want to be involved in wrestling and have a passion for it.
Yeah, man, and it's great, man. It's great to have them, too, and it's also great to see Jake there. You're talking about promo guys. It's great to see Jake back in the business somehow, you know, in AEW, too. That's somebody who can definitely help contribute as far as promo skills to the AEW audience as well. Brian, so listen, we're taking up a lot of your time right now. I want to thank you for talking a little NFL, a little bit of some wrestling, which we all love. Tell us what you got going on right now, and where can everyone follow you?
Everybody can follow me on Twitter. I'm just at Brian Fritz. You can follow my work over on Sporting News. And by the way, call this a coincidence for whatever you want, but this year I was actually going to break my streak and I was not going to Tampa for WrestleMania just because of other travel plans I had. And then these unfortunate circumstances happened. So I was going to be missing out on WrestleMania either way.
That's crazy, man. But again, though, Brian, glad you're safe. Glad everything's great with you, and let's do this again sometime, man. Hopefully under better circumstances, we're talking about, you know, getting wrestling back in the fold.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me, and you guys stay safe as well.
All right, Brian. Thanks a lot, man. All right, Trentzer, always good to talk to our main man, Brian Fritz from Sporting News. Again, Again, I'm looking forward to Dark Side of the Ring. I'm still a little bit in shock that Tom Brady will be in another uniform next year. Just so many things to talk about, man, and glad Brian is doing good.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, it's easy to be really down during this type of situation that we're dealing with here, but Brian is trying to keep a positive spin. I'm sure we all are, you know, ourselves included, you know, as exhausted and as tired and, you know, a lot of things that you and I are dealing with when it comes to other things that we are responsible for. It's not fun, and it's not, it's really hard to find that silver lining and the light at the end of the tunnel of positivity. So it's great to talk to Brian. It's great to kind of reminisce about things we did before in the past and to kind of just talk about what we hopefully have to look forward to in a time right now where there's a lot of things that we don't know what's going to happen because it's so unknown. So definitely great talking to him and catching up.
Well, one thing we do know is a lot of the events for WrestleMania weekend in Tampa were postponed and canceled and no longer taking place. A lot of fiscal responsibilities taken by these smaller companies. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are going to take a hit. Some of them can barely survive. I know we're going to do something with the Bullet Club Beach Party. That, unfortunately, got canceled. So a lot of stuff that we were looking forward to was definitely shut down this week. And one of the other events that we were looking forward to covering was Generation Championship Wrestling, the other GCW in Tampa. And they had a They were going to kick things off, man. They were going to have a huge show that Wednesday, April 1st, in Tampa, man. The Mecha Wolf Party was going to kick things off, and we had a chance to talk to the owner, Jeremy Gomez, of GCW. And, you know, we talk about a lot of things, but first and foremost, man, just what exactly were the ramifications of having to postpone his event for WrestleMania weekend? So without further ado, here is Jeremy Gomez of GCW on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, we were so looking forward to being actually there in person, covering a lot of events down in Tampa. One of them was going to be for Generation Championship Wrestling, and fortunately, due to this pandemic that's going on, man, a lot of events were canceled, and this one was as well. And right now, we're talking to Jeremy Gomez, who is the owner of Generation Championship Wrestling, and he is also known as Mr. Gomez, the leader of the Forefront, and he joins us right now on the High Spot Podcast. What's going on, Jeremy? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing. You know, it's an event life, man. You win some, you lose some. It's just an unfortunate week for a lot of people. I mean, I'm from Tampa, so, like, everything here is just shut down. It's sad, man. A lot of workers don't have any place to work now.
Was the ending inevitable, knowing that this was going to happen, or did you guys try to keep it going as much as possible, hoping, crossing the fingers that it was going to keep going? Did you kind of see this was going to actually happen?
Well, you know, I kind of saw it happening. I mean, there were things around us were all getting canceled. The wrestling shows were still holding out. I guess we were all kind of holding out to see what Mania was going to do. But, you know, it came to the point where most of us just decided, I mean, like 90% of us decided that, you know, we can't wait for Mania. You know, we got to do the right thing. People know Vince, man. He's going to hold out for as long as he possibly can, you know. But, yeah, so you could see it happening. It was coming. It was a bitter pill to swallow. But, you know, we held out as long as we could. And like I said, we just got to a point where we had to just, you know, acknowledge that, you know, something had to be done.
There was like talk, and I think there were some other companies saying that if WrestleMania cancels, would you guys be down? But obviously, with the amount of people that you can put in a building, I mean, now I think it's only been like up to 10 people. Obviously, you guys had no choice. Is it better to cancel now, or, you know, I mean, there's really no good time to cancel, but how's the refunds going and all that? Or is it going smoothly?
You know, refunds are... they're happening. We're not getting killed with refunds yet. I think the wrestling community is kind of being really cool about asking for refunds. You know, I'm not speaking for like Mania and those cost of tickets, but it's been okay. I mean, it's manageable right now. Some of the companies have gotten refunds from their buildings. Some of them haven't. I personally haven't gotten a refund yet for my building. I mean, I'm sure it'll happen because of the circumstances, but especially, you know, the whole Marriott thing going down, I'm sure we're all going to get refunded. But, you know, it was okay from like a worker standpoint to go early because, you know, they had flights that they could cancel and they had Airbnbs that they could have got their deposit back from and whatnot. So, you know, it is what it is, man. It's unfortunate.
Is it surprising to you or not surprising to you at all that the wrestling community was just at an ear's notice of what happened with the Marriott and WrestleCon were you surprised that you had people like Chris Jericho, Scott D'Amore, other people get involved, and maybe it didn't help really, you know, change things between WrestleCon and Marriott, but kind of like just the wrestlers all united and help each other out?
You know what? It doesn't surprise me anymore, because as I've been in the wrestling community longer and longer, it really is like a brotherhood. And, you know, there are some fans out there that can get crazy and aren't kind of on the same page. But for the most part, all the workers and all the wrestlers are on the same page, and we care about each other and we know what each other is going through. So you hope that some bigger names help out once in a while. And, you know, Jericho is always one to make an example. To lead by example. So it didn't surprise me. If I wasn't in the wrestling business, it might surprise me. But being in, yeah, I you know, it's almost expected. Wrestlers stick up for wrestlers, man.
So give me a little bio about your company and a little bit about you guys, just so that the audience, too, can listen to, because there's also going to be a write-up, too, as well on bodyslam.net. So just give us a little brief bio about you.
We are Generation Championship Wrestling. We are I guess you can say, a lot of people like to call us the other GCW or some other choice words. You know, sorry about the acronym, dudes. Yeah. We are Generation Championship Wrestling, and it came from my main company. My other job is actually promoting large-scale events. I actually have a world record for the largest parade of food trucks with Guinness Book. So that company's name is Generation Entertainment. So we started under Generation Championship Wrestling. We've only been around for about a year and a half. I think we've done about 13 live shows in a year and a half, though. We have a TV show on Thursday nights on our YouTube channel, Thursday Night Fire. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. But, you know, we're from Tampa. We've been doing our thing for a while, man. We've got a pretty good roster from all over the place. You know, obviously for Mania weekend, we had people coming from all over the world. We had G.O.D. coming. We had, you know, people from the Crash company. Our champion right now is Jay Rios. He's also a cruiserweight championship at the Crash. Trisha Dora was actually our first women's champion. Now it's Kylan King. The Metro Brothers are our tag champions. That's it, man. We're not hardcore. We're not deathmatch. We're not anything like that. We just try to put out a good product. We try to put out some good wrestling, and we do our thing, man. We do our thing.
You had a great itinerary, man. We were looking at it. It's one of the first things that drew our attention. You had Wolf's Night Out. I think Malka Wolf was was in charge of that. And then you also had, of course, you mentioned G.O.D. They were going to be a part of We Run This Town. So you guys were really going to be on the forefront. Actually, you were probably going to open up the festivities for WrestleMania weekend.
We were. We actually had Jamie Senegal and Alex Ocean were doing their thing too. Jalex Take Back the Power, so they were doing their thing. We had four GCW shows in 2 days. We had Mecha Wolf's thing that was going on at midnight that had, man, I can talk about it now. It had a Viking war. It had like fire dancers. My wife was actually doing like a 15. Well, my wife was producing, not in. She was doing a burlesque show each night of the event. We had rock bands coming, man. We had, you know, it was, I'm kind of bummed out about it, man. We had a lot of people coming from a lot of places, man. Tajiri, G.O.D., Psychosis, Alex Riley. The first one we broke that was coming to our event was Alex Riley. I had been talking with him for a while, and he decided to come out of retirement, and he was going to do our show.
Ah, oh, man, so, I'm telling you, man. We're excited. Like, we're excited about the names stuff, because that was going to open up the festivities. We were probably going to go back to our hotel rooms at, like, you know, like 5 a.m. and be like, oh, what a night. You know what I mean? That's
dude,
something, like, we're really looking forward to that, man. Like, I mean, obviously, it's different looking forward to you as a promoter, us as fans. But, man, listen, dude, man, we totally feel for you, man. I know it was going to be a good show.
As a fan of wrestling, man, you're not supposed to mark out when you're a wrestler or you're a promoter or anything like that. But there was some times when we got a couple of our bookings that I was, you know, I had to contain myself. Not everybody is as big of a Tajiri fan now, I think, as they should be. But, you know, I grew up on ECW. So, man, I had Yoshihiro Tajiri working my show, man. There was just a lot of things that were coming together that were special that week. And it's just, you know, I guess we're going to have to do it another time now. It's fun. You know, you get kind of bummed out. But like I said, I've been doing events for large scale events for like a decade now, almost 11 years now. And you win some and you lose some.
Oh, wow. That's quite impressive.
This is the first time it's ever happened like this. I mean, I've been rained out before or something like that from a hurricane, but this is a new one. So.
So with that being said, though, will you be planning your events in terms of what WrestleMania decides to do? Because they basically postponed it. There are rumors that they're going to go to the Performance Center. And then from there, there are rumors that now it might be Madison Square Garden in June. Would that be something that you would do, where you would go to New York City if everything was good to go, and then basically do the event there in New York? Or is it just like, you know, we'll wait till next year?
The funny thing is, we weren't planning in June, but my other company was actually going to be doing something with a Hello Panda Festival in New York, but that wasn't until like September or October. So, I mean, if it happened, I would probably, knowing me, look into, hey, you guys are up here, you rent out this place and this place, you know, you're in with New York, is there any place I could do a show? And if they said yes, I might. The only problem with that is, you know, WWE obviously has people on contract, their guys go with them, you know, we're independent. So would it be the same roster? Would we be able to do that? Would people be doing other shows already? That's the problem with them moving. That's what's hurting a lot of the independent companies right now. We're not going to get our same roster. It's not going to happen. So I don't know, man. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
Never say no.
Yeah, exactly. In this business,
that's
never
wrestling lingo right
say
there.
Never.
Never say never.
That's why I love the wrestling community. That's one of our lingos. So we've talked to a lot of promoters in Jersey, a lot of people that have had to postpone shows even way before this. So my question to you, Jeremy, is as a promoter, why?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Why?
Why go through all this? No. As a promoter, why did you want to be a promoter? Like, what made you want to be
basically
a promoter?
Basically, what Jeff's trying to get is that there's a particular type of mindset to do something.
It's crazy, Jeremy. I've seen every, you know, you have to be the guy, the vendor. You have to be in the concessions. Like, why, Jeremy? Why? You seem like you're in sound mind.
Mine goes back. I was actually the lead singer of a rock band before YouTube was a thing. I'm getting old, man. I'm not old. I'm 40. I'm almost 41 next month. But like, I was in a rock band, and you know, you're in a rock band for a while and you see who makes the money and who calls the shots and who gets to do everything. It's the promoter. Then after I got married, I had a daughter, and I was like, okay, I'm done with rock music. I know people that have gone through this. I'm not raising a daughter in this scene. So we got into the food truck boom. And let's say I started doing that, and same thing. You look around and food trucks don't make money. The promoters are treating them like crap. The promoters are just out for themselves. It gets to a point where, I guess when I had a daughter, I kind of thought to myself, like, look, I need to do something to help these other people, and I need to do something that my daughter can actually look up to one day. and it was becoming less about myself, not being like a lead singer of a band anymore that's only about himself. So it was starting to become for other people. And I just guess I got into the note of, I wanted to help others, man. And that's kind of the way it is now. I mean, obviously I want a successful show and everything, but I really enjoy the part about getting to let other people work and getting to have these guys live out their dreams and help them without their, you know, dreams. So will we be giant one day? Who knows? You know, the odds are always against new wrestling companies to succeed, but that's kind of what it is for me, man. It's crazy, but I would rather be me doing all this stuff, and I would rather be me helping out everybody else than relying on other people, because I've seen the bad side of promotion. I've suffered through the bad side of promotion. So to me, it's not really a crazy thing. It's I don't know. I guess I'm hoping to instill some sanity into what I promote. So,
well, sanity doesn't live in the world of professional wrestling. You know that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You can talk to a lot of my workers, man. We try to make a really stress-free atmosphere. We don't try to bog them down with any of that crap, and we go with the flow, man. I try with all of my other events and promoting. If it's not fun, then it's not worth it. So
it's great. It's really refreshing.
Yeah. It's refreshing, man. And
you probably heard it before from a promoter, but I just try, man. I try to do something that my kids are going to look up to. That's it.
But again, though, we tip our hats off to you, because it's not easy, man. Like I said, we've witnessed it firsthand. We've been guests, and we've seen the promoter running around like crazy, only, you know, not even be able to watch the show. You know what I mean? They're like,
I read one time that being a promoter was like the fifth most stressful job in the world. And that was it was either like a Harvard or a Yale study or something like that, but it was above firefighters and police officers. Oh, and stuff like that. It's true, man, where it's like lofty aspirations, unnecessary short schedules. And it's just, you know, they ask you to do things that a lot of times are impossible, and it's our job to make them possible. So it's, we're crazy. We're breed, but you know, I'm an OCD person that doesn't sleep a lot, so it's okay. It gives me something to do.
Well, so you were talking about before about there being maybe like a little bit of brushback with the other GCW. Is there really any brushback or anything like that? Or
I mean, I think it was, I think it's always been more the other GCW fans that are freaking crazy in a good way. I mean, they love their brand, dude. That's, it reminds me of being an ECW fan back in the day. So that's cool. But I mean, I don't, I had honestly legit, I before I got into this, I was a big WWE fan. I was an Impact fan. I was a New Japan fan. I honestly legit didn't hear about GCW till after I started a GCW and people started making me aware of it. So to me, like in wrestling, it's a ladder thing. You know, I'm on the bottom rung still. GCW is way the hell above me. So, I mean, I respect the hell out of them and what they do. And they've had an unfortunate turn of events this week too. And I hope they, you know, I hope they can get out of it because they do a lot for the wrestling business. They've done a lot for the wrestling business. So I don't have any animosity toward them. I mean, if some of their fans don't understand an acronym is an acronym, and I'm not, you know, I don't, I'm not, we don't do death matches. We don't do that. We're totally not the other GCW. And I never have aspirations to be anything but like myself and what we do. So I mean,
there you go. That's a great hashtag for a shirt there. GCW. We're not that GCW. You know what I mean? That's
Oh, man, I was going to make a fake GCW shirt for a little while just to poke fun at ourselves.
Oh,
but my book
man.
Begged me not to.
And finally, you know, you were talking about, you know, being a newer wrestling company, but you know, you got to take advantage there, Jeremy, because obviously wrestling, there's a huge boom via social media. You know, you can get wrestling everywhere, and I'm sure that's something that you took into realizing when you wanted to open up your own company. That hey, there's a boom right now, and right now we're starving for wrestling. Now, you know, we really, you know, unfortunately there's a pandemic, but you had to notice the social media clamoring for more wrestling, and you know, there's nothing wrong with you trying to capitalize.
Oh, it's kind of crazy, but I mean, I wish I could take all that kind of credit. I mean, like the reality is, I kind of just fell into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I never had actually thought about owning a wrestling promotion until I was hosting one of my events, and I wanted to do a wrestling match at the event. And it just so happened that my wife was doing a fashion show, and one of the models was a wrestler. And somehow it just turned into a match, and somehow that match turned into having a good book. And that book, I mean, my first match ever was Gangrel walking out to the Brood music.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, and I think it was, it was like a street fight against Chuckles the Clown. So, I mean, I think watching the first match, I was just like, damn, you know, I kind of like this. And I think it was the first match that I got the bug. But I had never thought about owning a company before. It just kind of took off. But then, yes, you're right. When I started looking into it, you know, it was a good time, man. You know, being the Elite was getting pretty big, and the indie scene was getting really social media big, and people were becoming, you know, pretty profitable over it. And, you know, but still, I don't think I have, I think I've yet actually looked at wrestling as a way to be profitable. As any job I have, I want it to be profitable, but I have a profitable other job. We go all over the country. I do events all over the country. So it might've almost been a midlife crisis, but right now still in my head, what I still want to do is make my guys be seen more and get my wrestlers out to the world. And I don't think turning a profit would be nice. It'll happen eventually if I keep my head down and keep working like I'm supposed to. But I still think the main thing right now is most of my job is I'm really just trying to help other people get seen. I've been an entertainer my whole life, and these guys are entertainers now. And, you know, I would have died for some help, and hopefully I'm helping them out. My time is over, and I'm just trying to help get other people over now.
He is Jeremy Gomez, owner of Generation Championship Wrestling. Listen, man, you know, anytime there's any stories that break or you want to come on again, please let us know. And real quick, tell us what you, you know, tell us where they can find you guys on social media.
I'll be honest right now. Well, you can find GCW on social media at GCW Wrestling Pro pretty much everywhere. Other than that, one of the things that did come of WrestleMania getting canceled is we did actually want to wait real quick about to get wrestling out to all the fans that don't have wrestling to watch now and want to see some of these matches. So we're actually doing a streaming only wrestling show on April 4th, called the show Must Go On, Survival of the Sickest. If you look that up, Survival of the Sickest on Facebook, you'll find it. We're going to live stream for free everywhere. We've got a good card lining up, and it is going to be from an undisclosed location for everybody to watch for free.
Awesome.
That's where you can actually find some of us next. Although that's not a GCW show. It's kind of a joint show between a lot of the companies that don't get to work.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And again, thank you for coming on. Again, wish it was during better circumstances, but definitely appreciate what you're going to put on for all of us down there at WrestleMania weekend there. So really appreciate that,
next
man.
Time.
next time, man.
Next time, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, keep us up to date, and I would love to have you on back again soon one day.
Appreciate it. Anytime. I appreciate you guys.
Take care, man. Man, Trendsetter, man. It was going to be a tremendous, tremendous opening night for us down that WrestleMania weekend, man. But again, man, we wish we were talking under better circumstances, and we hope that somewhere down the road, you know, they hold another event, and we'd love to be a part of it.
Definitely, and it, you know, you feel for Jeremy, and you feel for all the things that happened outside of his control, but he's been keeping a positive spin on it. And ultimately, like I said, you know, there, like I've mentioned before at the beginning of the show, there are more important things sometimes to deal with as opposed to an event, although, you know, it does take a particular mind to be a promoter, and we've given so much amount of respect for it. You know, maybe something like this can be, rectified later down the road.
Yeah, and we thank Jeremy Gomez again of GCW Wrestling Pro, Generation Championship Wrestling, for being our guest here. It's tough time to talk, but give him credit for being on the show and talking about his event. Trendsetter, listen, man, all we can say is, guys, coronavirus is not going to stop the High Spot Podcast from giving you shows and content, so be on the lookout on social media for a lot of shows. Hopefully the Trendsetter can give you some of his interviews from Vegas for AVN for your viewing pleasure on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to High Spot Podcast. Mm-hmm. Like and subscribe, and hopefully you can get us some content on there this week. Trendsetter would definitely be nice to get some visuals of AVN. And of course, again, follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast. And just look out on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter. We'll be doing a lot of great stuff for you guys this week and the next week. And you know, who knows who will be on the show next week, and who knows if you might come again late this week for another show. You never know, but we want to give you guys, the crew, a little bit of a break from all this craziness in the world today.
Well, one thing you do know is that we are the Jersey Rank Crew. My tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I'm the Trendsetter, Brian Breck. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back again next week, because coronavirus or not, whatever's going on in the world, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
Be safe, everybody.